you've driven by their churches, but what do they teach on the inside of the building?
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
It is time for Too Wretched for Radio, a subject I have to confess I'm foggy on. It. I can't keep these straight. Phil, perhaps you can help us. Was reading an article in Charisma News, which I got to tell you something. If the Babylon Bee ever lets you down with satire, read Charisma. Because it's knee-slapping funny and actually quite dangerous. The headline says, Church of God Overseer, he's the bishop or the overseer, stating it's time for a fresh Pentecostal experience. Phil, Church of God, what is the difference between the Church of God, the Church of God in Christ, the Church not of God in Christ? I mean, I can't keep them straight.
Yeah, there's one called the Church of God in Prophecy, too. I can't keep them straight either. Generally, when they're called the Church of God, they are charismatic churches. The nuances between the different smaller denominations of Church of God people, I don't know. I just don't know. I suspect, though, that they're more political than doctrinal.
I happen to have their Declaration of Faith. We're going to work through it to help us understand the Church of God. When I clicked on church, you know, to look up their statement of faith, the Google machine, it pointed out all the places where there are Church of God churches near me. There's about 20 near me in that little Google. I mean, wow. So they're in the South. They've got a presence here. They recently had a convention, their 77th International General Assembly of the Church of God. And Phil, I just want to point this out to you. See if you can pick up the theme here. All right. I circled all of the references to the deity, and see if you notice a pattern. I'll do them in order from this article, quoting his sermon. Spirit, Jesus. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Spirit empowered. Holy Spirit, Jesus. Spirit filled. The Spirit gave. Holy Spirit speech. The Spirit would. Holy Spirit outpouring, Spirit experience, in the Spirit and power of. Do you kind of get the emphasis of the teaching there? It's very Holy Spirit weighted.
Yeah, kind of hard to miss that. Kind of hard to miss that. But also notice that you mentioned Jesus a couple of times.
Yep.
But I don't think I heard any reference there to God the Father.
No, there was nothing there with the Father either. It's all focused on the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
So I thought that was instructive. So I thought, let's make our way through this Pentecostal denomination called the Church of God, starting with their Declaration of Faith. Phil, I don't think you're going to argue with all of these. First, they believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Two, one God eternally existing in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. He was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, is at the right hand of the Father as the intercessor. So far, so good, right?
Yep. Not a problem yet.
That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that repentance is commanded of God for all and necessary for forgiveness of sins. Okay. Comments?
I might word that slightly differently, but that's capable of an orthodox explanation.
That's a very nice way of putting it. It's capable of that. It just leads one to wonder. Next, that justification, regeneration, and the new birth are wrought by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Those things are wrought by God to those who believe. It's not our faith that saves us. It's God who saves us. Faith is simply the channel, the instrument that lays hold of Christ for those things. But it's God who does that. And that's not an important, that's not an unimportant nuance. That's not just a slip of the tongue. That is written by someone who doesn't really seem to understand the point.
It has to do with the Ordo Salutis. Phil, what is the Ordo Salutis?
That's a fancy term for the order of salvation, and it's part of a theological discussion about the order of the various elements of our salvation. There's justification, sanctification, glorification, our calling and election, and God's foreknowledge and all that. In what order, logically, not necessarily even chronologically, but logically, in what order do we understand those things? What is the cause and what's the effect? And, of course, the big debate is faith the cause of the new birth? Or is the new birth the cause of our faith? Which is the cause? Which is the effect? And I think most of us would agree that those things are essentially simultaneous, that a person is born again when he believes, or he believes when he is born again. You can say it either way, because those things occur essentially at a point in time, one instant moment. But which is the cause and which is the effect? Is my faith what unleashes God's work in my life, or is his work in my life what, you know, awakens my heart to faith? And, I think the answer is obvious from Scripture. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, this is Ephesians 2, but God, who's rich in mercy towards us, raised us up to believe. And so for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So you're saved, and those prepositions are important. You're saved by grace through faith. So the statement that our faith is what, how did they say it, that our salvation is wrought by faith is wrong. Our salvation is wrought by grace through faith, and those prepositions are important.
The justification, regeneration, and a new birth are wrought by faith in the blood of Jesus. I think we would say when God regenerates us, that is the new birth which produces repentance and faith. You happy with that phrasing?
I am. I am. I think it's important to understand you'll find some older writers, even among, you know, really orthodox people, who don't necessarily equate regeneration with the new birth. When they speak of regeneration, they are talking about the regenerating work of God from start to finish. So they would include glorification in that and say your regeneration isn't complete until you're finally glorified. Some of the older writers use the expression regeneration that way. And I think it confuses a lot of people because, you know, you'll read these discussions about whether which comes first, regeneration or faith. And it's muddied by the fact that really until the 20th century, I don't think theologians were always consistent in equating regeneration and the new birth and saying those two things are the same thing. So the new birth is that first awakening that opens our hearts to believe. And it seems evident to me from the way Scripture talks about it that the new birth is what causes our faith rather than the other way around. I think the average Christian today, though, actually thinks backward and thinks the way that doctrinal statement is written, which is to say that basically my faith is what unleashes God's work in my life. And so when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was giving him something to do, which if you think about it is... Even Nicodemus understood better than that, because he recognized the fact that Jesus was using the imagery of birth for a particular reason, and one of those reasons, at the heart of that reason, is the idea that your birth is not something you did for yourself.
Right.
You didn't cause it. It's what caused you rather than vice versa. And it's the same thing with the new birth. It's not something you can cause. It's something that is wrought by the Spirit, and Jesus' answer to Nicodemus goes on to sort of underscore that. And all that's a long discussion about the Ordo Salutis that goes far beyond the problem with that doctrinal statement. What makes that doctrinal statement troublesome is by saying that salvation is wrought by my faith, they, in essence, make faith into a human work.
Continuing with the faith statement of the Church of God, not to be confused with the Duck Dynasty Church of Christ, which believes in baptismal regeneration. I'll continue reading. Holiness to be God's standard of living for his people. In the baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to a clean heart.
I had a hard time following the logic of the way that was written. What does subsequent...
Well, the first sentence, there were 2 points. My bad. Holiness to be God's standard of living for his people. Next point. We believe in the baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to a clean heart.
So they're saying you have to basically clean your heart first and then the Holy Spirit baptizes you?
Well, in the baptism, well, first of all, they've got a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which sets off signals for me.
Yeah.
Subsequent to a clean heart. So this is a separate baptism that happens to the believer, because the next point points us in that direction. In speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right, and that's standard old-style Pentecostal theology, and it's not necessarily unique to this denomination. I think it's errant theology to treat the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second blessing kind of experience. That's what I think they're saying.
Yeah.
That what they teach is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a secondary, second-level experience that happens to believers as they are sanctified, or that statement actually says once they are sanctified. Like, you have to be first holy. And by the way, when they use the word holy, from that, you know, sort of theological and genealogical line, holiness, the idea they had when they used that term of holiness was a kind of sinless perfection, that holiness is a state of perfection that you achieve where you no longer consciously are guilty of any sins at all, that if there are any sins in your life, they're more like accidental mistakes, but not deliberate acts of a sin, and people would claim to be completely sanctified, you know, perfectly holy insofar as their desires were concerned and all of that. And then the Holy Spirit baptizes you, you get the gift of tongues, and so you've achieved that higher level of Christian sanctification. That, like every other form of perfectionism, is dangerously false doctrine, and it leads usually to either despair, disillusionment, or a secretly depraved life.
I, whilst you were talking about sinless perfectionism, because that's just every time I've met somebody who's a sinless perfectionist, Bill, the conversation always goes the same way. You're perfect. Could I just text your wife and get affirmation on that? Your kids are going to all affirm that you're perfect. Well, as perfect as a man can be. Okay, so you think that you're perfect. Well, aren't you just a special sort of person? Hey, why don't you just zip it, buddy boy? Oh, I think you just blew your perfectionism. Well, I was justified in my anger. Okay, to have a good day. They're very difficult to talk to.
Yeah, no, in fact, you're the best, maybe best person in the world to expose that, because you do have a real gift for making people lose their sanctification.
I don't know where that is exactly in the Bible, but I'll take it. Is sinless perfection possible in this life? That's the question. So we should be mature in Christ. True perfection will not come until the rapture of the church, when we rise to meet Jesus. So, good news, Church of God does not believe in sinless perfectionism. So that's a good thing. They do believe that the person who repents should be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here we go, Phil. Divine healing is provided for all in the atonement.
Yeah, I mean, that again, that's standard old-style Pentecostal teaching. A lot of the... It's one of the things that actually distinguishes the modern charismatic movement from the old Pentecostal view, because Pentecostalism, frankly, doesn't work. Every Pentecostal faith healer who ever told anyone that, you know, the only reason you're not healed is because you lack faith, all of them ultimately died. You know, I lived in Tulsa when Catherine Coleman was at the peak of her fame. She was the most famous television faith healer of her generation back in the 1960s. And I remember a specific week when both she and Oral Roberts, who lived in Tulsa, were hospitalized in the same hospital in downtown Tulsa. And my question was, why don't they just walk down the hall and one of them heal the other? And then they can take turns healing each other. But they were both hospitalized with maladies that they were not healed from by faith. And in fact, they both ultimately died. So it's pretty hard to, in practical terms, sustain this notion that healing is guaranteed in the atonement, and no matter what your malady, you should be healed of it. And if you're not, it's because of a deficiency in your faith. Ultimately, that will take down every faith healer and expose the error, because they all die.
Gotta tell you, Phil, when you said that there are people who will say you don't have enough faith, which is why you're not healed, I saw that played out practically. I heard from a young man whose 14-month-old son has cerebral palsy, and his Pentecostal in-laws keep saying, don't say the word cerebral palsy, don't put that out there, you're lacking faith. Oh, wow. That, Phil, you know, I think you and I have talked about that before, most certainly, where, you know, it's to say that to somebody is terrible. But when I heard from somebody who's living it and being told that they don't have enough faith, which is why their son has CP, that is about as much wickedness as I think anybody should ever have to endure.
It is wicked and it's dangerous as well. There have actually been people who have died because they bought into that theology, and they thought if they acknowledged that they were sick, then that wasn't faith. And so they didn't even acknowledge that they were sick or seek treatment, and so they died. Read the story of Hobart Freeman. You can look him up, I think, on Wikipedia. He was a famous theologian and not a bad one. At one point, he wrote a book that was published by Moody Press, I think on the Old Testament or something. So he had enough skill as a biblical student and teacher that he should have been beyond this sort of error. But he bought into the faith healing lie that healing is in the atonement, and started a group that ultimately became a cult. And they had several children who died because their parents refused to get medical treatment. So it's dangerous on that level. It's dangerous on another level as well. My best friend in junior high school was the son of a fairly well-known Pentecostal faith healing evangelist. He was an Assemblies of God faith healer who traveled the world. And I've seen photographs of meetings where he filled a stadium with 50,000 people that he preached to and supposedly healed their deafness and all of that sort of thing. But it was the year I became a Christian, actually. My friend's father, the faith healer, contracted a rare form of bone cancer that led to his death over a 2-year decline, during which he was in severe pain most of the time and died this lingering death that destroyed the faith of my best friend. He abandoned Christianity over it. He figured if this is a lie, the whole thing must be a lie. And so he left the faith, which to me proves his faith was not really in Christ in the first place.
Right, right. That sounds like the Gungers.
Yeah. Yeah, he just became, but you can see how easily it is, how easily someone could be disillusioned if they have believed a lie, which is, again, why discernment is important.
They've got to be bitter, and their latter end worse than the first. I don't blame them. You know, you're trying to be good. You give up pleasures because you're trying to please God, and then you conclude it's all a lie. I'd be a little bit angry, too, I have to confess. But that's exactly why it's not the Gungers. They came from a kind of a Pentecostal background, healings, all that, and now they're, well, calling themselves, I think, atheists is what they're calling themselves. All right, so Phil.
Yeah, well, the world is full of people like that who aren't famous, maybe, but they were exposed early on to charismatic teaching. They maybe grew up in it and at some point along the way came to see that a lot of these claims simply are demonstrably false, and they think, well, this is Christianity. They dump it completely. So those lies inoculate people against the true faith. It's a sad thing.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the NAR when this generation that is so caught up in that movement suddenly starts to realize, yikes, it's either not true, or the other thing that I would predict is going to happen, once their style of music is no longer the cool type of music in the NAR, you're going to see the same sort of fracturing that we see in evangelicalism. Wait, no, man, we got to go back to Jesus culture and Hillsong, not these new kids. And you're going to see a mess over worship, which is such an integral part of the NAR. All right, Phil, Church of God, distinct. There's many different branches of them, but there's millions of folks who fall, about 7 million, maybe 8 million, that fall under the Church of God banner. Some are Church of God, some are Church of God. They've got different names, totaling about 7 or 8 million people. Based on what we just read from the Church of God website, are they Orthodox?
Let's just say no. I would call them sub-Orthodox. I don't think I'd label them rank heretics. I think there's enough truth in the doctrinal statement you read that it's not inconceivable that there might be people in that church who have heard enough gospel that they've genuinely come to faith. And so I wouldn't say, you know, if you're in that group, you're not really a Christian or anything like that. But I would say that the teaching that's represented in that doctrinal statement is sub-Orthodox, and it opens the door wide to errors that are potentially dangerous and even possibly could lead to someone's damnation because they actually uphold faith in the wrong thing. I mean, if my salvation is wrought by my faith, that's the language they use, then my faith is in my faith. Really? But that's exactly what charismaticism teaches, that you have to have faith. If you're not healed, it's because your faith is deficient. So they're encouraging people to put their faith in faith itself, which is not what Scripture teaches. Our faith should be in Christ. He is the Savior. Salvation is wrought by Him, not by my faith.
Church of Christ, the Duck Dynasty denomination, not everybody, but I would say most, and I think most, they don't codify anything, so it's very difficult to know what they believe today. They believe in baptismal regeneration. You must be baptized in order to be saved. And I've even heard, I think, Phil, the Duck Dynasty guy, say that you've also got to live a really, really moral life in order to be saved. Would you say that is merely sub-Orthodox or downright heretical?
Well, it sounds like works salvation to me. If he's saying in those words that you've got to live a righteous life in order to be saved, then he's made human works into the ground of our salvation. He's not pointing people to the righteousness of Christ. He's encouraging them to trust in their own righteousness. That's the very definition of self-righteousness.
It seems to me.
Why it's self-righteousness.
Yeah, that the book of Galatians was written precisely for the Duck Dynasty boys, Church of Christ versus Church of God.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?